Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome to our visitor. I bring greetings from Bethlehem. Last week I was there and I had the opportunity to meet some new people over in the Bethlehem area. And it's always a joy when you have visitors and new individuals coming, possibly for the first time. Well, brethren, 2012, we're here. Another year is coming around. It's amazing how quickly this past year just went by so quickly. And yet, here we are almost halfway through January. When you look at the calendar, it's amazing how quickly it just flies by. And yet, despite all the preparations that you prepare for in a year's time, and all the things that we endure and go through, as we had heard in various messages today already, we find that life is challenging. It's tremendously challenging. And we never know what we're going to face from day to day. I find children very interesting. Being around children and having the opportunity of having grandchildren and other blessings, you can learn a lot from children. And sometimes you learn some negative things. And I want to talk about, just for a short period of time here, of a situation involving children. Now, children want to be able to do things on their own. And it's not uncommon a child will say, "I can do it. I can do it myself." And, of course, the parents want to help them. But there has to also be, allow them the opportunity to do it themselves. And there has to be balance there. Sometimes if a child is rebellious and they do refuse to listen on the parent, and they want to do it themselves because they feel that they can do it, and it's harmful to them, then sometimes you got a real challenge there in facing the child there and in correcting that situation. But you know, children grow up to be adults. And the Bible talks about that. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 14. And as children grow up to be adults, it's interesting that that characteristic of I can do it myself, continues. Over in Proverbs 14, and we look at verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man." Now we have children that have grown up to become men. "But the end thereof are the ways of death." So something on a child level may not be as serious as death. But as they grow up to become men, and they're saying that they can do it their way, "I can do it my way," if you want to put in their parentheses, "do it their way." They seem it's right in their own eyes. However, their ways leads to death. So it gets more serious as they grow up. And mankind comes to conclude that they can do it their way. Well, let's also look at chapter 16, Proverbs 16 and verse 25. And again, the emphasis here is, "I can do it my way." It says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Again, the emphasis is, as we get older, growing up from a child and becoming an adult, we still sometimes think, "I can do it my way. I can do it myself." But many times that concept, that idea of doing it my way, or "I can do it myself," leads down the wrong path to destruction or death. So, brethren, what can we do to prevent ourselves from having this mentality? Because it's a characteristic in man. I find men, maybe more than women, have this problem of thinking, "They can do it my way. I can do it myself. I don't need anybody to show me how to do it. I can do it myself." And so I think sometimes it's a little bit harder for men to overcome this problem. Not saying that women don't have it, because there are women that have it too. But it's more challenging, I think, for men, because they're put in a role position of responsibility. And sometimes, because of that responsibility, they feel they can do it themselves. So how do we grow spiritually and not have the characteristic of thinking we can do it? We can do it ourselves and lack trusting in the guidance of God. Well, there's two very basic points I want to talk about today. Two very basic points on how we can resist this attitude of thinking it's my way or the highway. You got to do it my way, or you might as well head out the highway, because if you're not going to do it my way, it's not going to get done. And that happens, unfortunately, in society. society that does not know God. They will do it their way. And we see all the destruction, that we talked about destruction, that that is created because of this mentality and this thought pattern, that you got to do it my way. Look at the government. Look what the government thinks. You got to do it my way. And they force things upon people, taxation upon the people. And now new laws are being passed, terroristic laws that I just heard recently, that can actually determine, if they want to, they can declare you a terrorist. And what's the result of that? They can pack you up and ship you wherever they want. Now that sounds, you know, hey, maybe that's a good bill. We'll get rid of the terrorists in our country. We won't have to worry about terrorists. But think about that. That can be used in multiple ways. In ways, like I say, that man thinks is right. And they can use it for any purpose they want. If they don't like you personally, they can say, let's get rid of this individual. Let's classify him as a terrorist, and let's get rid of him. Now that can fall in relationship with religion. If they don't agree with your religion, if the government feels that you are contrary to their religious observance because of what we observe, they can use us in that category of a terrorist. And so you see where this can go? This can go from something simple, a pass bill emphasizing very strongly of controlling terrorists, to suddenly be used, as Bible prophecy says, that we'll be brought before kings and that we will be persecuted. You see where it can go? End time prophecy can be fulfilled based on a law that was just recently passed. So there's a lot of things that men think is right, and they may have good intentions when they pass this law, but you can see men without the guidance of God will do things contrary to God's way, and it usually leads to destruction in many ways. We understand the prophecies that is revealed in the Bible, but I talked about two steps that we need to use to prevent us from thinking it's my way or the highway. And what's the first step? The first step is you have to want to be guided. That means you have to submit and be willing to obey God under all circumstances. Now that's not easy. To be willing to give up and say, God, it's your way. When we've grown up as individuals and we've taken responsibilities on our shoulders, it's the right thing to do, to be willing to want to give up our way and says, it's your way, Lord, to be submissive to God. Well, let's look over in the book of Psalms. Emphasizes this point very strongly about wanting to be guided, and that's being guided by God. Because people can allow themselves to be guided by other individuals, other spirits, and a wide range of guidance. And so we have to specifically emphasize we want to be guided by God as who we want to be guided by. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter 5. And as we start a new year, it's good to think about guiding a new year, getting us off started to the right direction, and being led by the right way. Here, the book of Psalms, chapter 5, verse 8 says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before my face. Sometimes we deal with situations we don't always understand. And we heard about that in the sermonette about Abraham. He was put in on a trial of sacrificing his son. And it's interesting because God did the exact same thing with his son, Jesus Christ. And he allowed Jesus Christ to go through that sacrifice. Abraham was spared. God called out and told him not to sacrifice the child, Isaac. But he was willing. You notice he was willing. And God guided that situation. And it was a situation that God wanted to prove that Abraham trusted in him. And we need to be able to trust in God. His intentions is for our good. He will guide us into the kingdom of God. And he will lead us his way. But we have to trust in God. And we have to willingly submit to God. And tell God, your way, Lord. Not my way, but your way. And it's not easy. Let's look at Psalm chapter 25. Psalm 25, and we'll look at verse 5. Again, the emphasis here is wanting to be guided by God. Psalm 25, verse 5, lead me in your truth and teach me. And that's what we need to do. We need to ask God to teach us his ways. For you are the God of my salvation. And that's what God's trying to do. He's leading us to salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And we do have to wait patiently for the return of Jesus Christ and the setting up of the government of God. And that is what's going to bring peace upon the earth. You can drop down to verse 9. It says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. So this is how we ask God for guidance. We have to be humble. We have to be willing to be meek and acknowledge to God that, yes, I have a problem. I have to trust in you. And I have to be willing to submit to you. And not everybody's willing to do that. But God says that if we're willing to do that, he will bless us greatly. He will teach us his ways. He will show us where we need to go. And he will guide us, which is very important. We need guidance. If we trust in ourselves, as it said, the road will lead to destruction, because the natural tendency is to go away from God's way, to go the easy path, to do things that's easy. Being a Christian is not an easy path. It's a wonderful, rewarding path, and we have tremendous blessings if we are willing to follow down the straight and narrow path. But it's so much easier to go the wide path. But notice it says the wide path leads to destruction or death, because it goes contrary to God's way. And if you're not willing to be submissive or willing to be guided, you will find yourselves on the wide path. So there's only two ways of life. You're either going to obey God or you're not. That's what it comes down to. And if you're willing to be guided by God, you will be blessed tremendously. You will have the opportunity of knowing God's ways and understanding God, why he wants us to go this way. It's for our good. God is pleased to give his truth to us. And if we're willing to obey and do the things that he tells us to do in the Bible, we will be richly blessed. Let's continue reading in the book of Psalm. Let's look at Psalms chapter 18. We'll look at verse 44. I'm getting a little bit of a cold. My wife's had it. And now it looks like I'm getting it, so I apologize. So if my voice gives out, we'll whisper. Psalms 18, verse 44. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me, and the strangers shall submit themselves unto me. This scripture is emphasizing those who hear him will submit to him, and they will become his people. The strangers, and at one time we were strangers to God. We weren't going the way of the straight and narrow. We were going the path that leads to destruction. We were going contrary to God's ways. And one day God called us in one form or another, and each and every one of us has many stories to tell about how God has called us to the understanding of his ways. And we became his people. And we had submitted to his ways, which is very encouraging. To know that that's the first step that we have to do. We have to be willing to submit to God. Again, I mentioned it's not easy, because it's so much easier to go the wide path and do the things that everyone else is doing. I remember as a teenager growing up, and friends of mine would say, come on, Bob, let's go play football on the Saturday when I was learning about the Sabbath. And the pool was there because I loved sports at the time. And I wanted to be there, but my heart also told me that I had to do the right thing. So it's not easy to be pulled in two different directions, and you will throughout life. You will have to be tested sometimes on whether you will submit or not to God, just like Abraham was tested, as we heard in the sermonette. But it's for our good. If we're willing to submit and do the right things, God calls us his people. And being called his people is a tremendous blessing to have the understanding of what God has planned for mankind, and particularly the first fruits, which we can become, the first fruits of God. What a tremendous blessing. But it all starts with submissive. We have to be submissive. Let's look at Psalms 27. Psalm 27, we'll look at verse 11. This scripture, I think, hits home right from the very emphasis point of submissive. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. And we will have enemies around us, people that will accuse us, criticize us, condemn us for what we believe. But the emphasis here is this: we need to be taught God's way, and we need to be willing to submit to God's way and walk the plain path. I like that. And lead me in the plain path. I mentioned there's two paths. We have to know which path we're going to be walking, and we have to choose either obey God or not obey God. Those are the two paths that we have to choose. And God even encourages us and tells us which path to go on. Lead us to the path that's straight and narrow, that leads to life, to salvation, to the kingdom of God. He even tells us which path to walk on. But you know, He gives us the opportunity to choose. He lets, will we be submissive, or will we choose the wide path? That's, God doesn't force us. He tells us. He says, this is the way, walk you in it. But then you have to choose. Will I walk in it, or will I walk the path that leads to destruction? That's how great and loving our God is. He doesn't force us to do things that we may not want to do. But He tells us which way to go, and He shows us the path. But we have to be submissive, and we have to be willing to walk that path. Like I said, it's not an easy path. Let's look at Psalm 61. Psalm 61, we'll look at verse 2. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, and at times our heart will be overwhelmed, we'll be put in situations that we just say, what am I going to do? What can I do here? It says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So that rock, which was Jesus Christ, is higher than I. And we're said and told here, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So we do have someone who can guide us and direct us and show us the way, to encourage us, to be with us. And He says He will never forsake us. I think these are words of encouragement that we can all hold on to know that God will guide us, lead us, and show us the way. But the main point is we have to realize the first step we have to do is be submissive and be willing to trust in God's direction, where He is guiding us, where He is leading us, and where He is providing us wisdom and understanding. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And verse 19. And notice again what it says here. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If you be willing, I mentioned we have to be willing to be guided. It says, and obedience, and obey God. So it's not only wanting to be willing to do that, because there are people that are willing to try to do what's right, but then eventually they stop obeying. So it's got to be a full process. You just can't go halfway. You got to go the whole way. We got to be willing, and we have to be willing to and obey. It says, and you shall eat the good of the land. And God will bless us greatly for the good of the land and the future land that we will be part of, which will be the kingdom of God. That's a land that we're looking forward to that will be fulfilled in the near future. What a wonderful blessing to know this. But again, it's easy to go the wide path. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Now, I love the book of Proverbs, and I love the book of Psalms, so I quote a lot of scriptures out of those two books, because that's one of the directions that we can find for guidance from the time we are a child all the way to adulthood. We can be guided and directed. And parents can lead the children with God's word and give them insight. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, "Be not wise in your own eyes." Now, I mentioned it's easy to think that our way is the best way. It says, "Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So learning to fear the Lord is willing to be submissive and to grow in knowledge and understanding of God's way and to be willing to be guided by Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's where wisdom comes in, and it will depart us from evil. You notice it said, "and depart from evil." That's one of the ways that we can depart from evil, is by letting God guide us, direct us, and show us the way that we should go. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 20. Now here, I want to emphasize to the children, it says, "My son, keep your father's commandments, and forsake not the law of your mother." It's very important that we keep the father's commandments and not to forsake the law of your mother. Children, this is an opportunity. You have a tremendous blessing from being raised in the church as a child. You will have the opportunity to know God's way, and you can be submissive from your early stages in life. Unlike many men who grew up thinking that their way was the best way and eventually finding themselves going contrary to God's way, you have been blessed by being in God's church from your very youth. It's a wonderful blessing. I hope you appreciate it and tell God how much you appreciate it, because it is a tremendous blessing. It says here, "Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. And when you go, it shall lead you." So you have a wonderful blessing to be led. "And when you sleep, it shall keep you." And so you'll have peace and you'll have rest. "And when you awake, it shall talk with you." God's way will talk with you. It will show you the way to go. "For the commandment is a lamp." And that it is. It's a lamp that leads our path. It shows us the way to go. "And the law is a light, and reproof of instructions are the way of life." And so, children, I want to encourage you to listen to your parents. Hear what they teach you. As God is guiding your parents can guide you through life. And you have a wonderful opportunity of not making the mistakes that mankind has made and has done foolishly. I want to give you an example of a situation that I experienced myself personally. And it's a valuable lesson I learned in life, and I learned it later in life. My wife and I opened up a store, a health food store. And we know we needed certain things for our store, and so we went purchasing a few things. But I didn't seek guidance. I didn't seek wisdom and insight from God showing me wise choices. And I made a choice of buying some coolers for the store, freezers for our produce and for our food. And it seemed like a wise choice at the time. I thought I made a wise choice. It was a good buy. We had it for about a year. And then we opened the store and we started the unit up. 6 months later, the compressor went out. So I called a serviceman. He came out. He looked at it and he said, "Oh," he said, "you got one of the worst freezers you could possibly buy." He said, "they're just not worth it." He said, "what did you pay for it?" And I told him, he said, "Oh," he said, "it's going to cost you $1,600 to fix." Well, I learned a valuable lesson. I didn't trust in God at the time. I trusted in myself. I thought I had enough wisdom to make a wise choice in my own eyes. And it's a valuable lesson that I emphasize to you, because I want you to learn that lesson. In all things, trust in God. Ask God for the little things in life. Even asking for wisdom to make a wise purchase, like I did not do. And it's a valuable lesson that I learned, and I want to emphasize that to you, because that's what life is all about. We make choices throughout life, and sometimes we make choices based on our own decision. And if we're not willing to trust in God for even the little things, how can we trust in Him for the big things? Because we will fail miserably if we trust in ourselves. And so, yes, I made a foolish mistake. And it cost me. Thousands of dollars it cost me. And looking back, I can say, whew, it's a valuable lesson. It was an expensive lesson, but it's something that I learned that now I can look back and say, I must ask God, I must be submissive to His way and His guidance, and I must, even for the little things in decision making, I must seek God in all ways. So it was a wonderful lesson of humility, and I learned a valuable lesson from it. I hope that you can learn from that and not make the same mistake I did. And I learned that later in life. I mean, I grew up in the church as a teenager, and so I knew God's way of life for a long time. And here I am, well, in my mid-life. Most of you know my age, so I don't have to say it. But anyway, you see, it doesn't matter how long you're in the church. It doesn't matter how long you've been around God's way of life. You still make mistakes. We still sometimes think we can do it our way and make our own decisions. But if we don't trust in God, we don't submit to God and say, God, show me the way. Guide me in this purchase. Give me insight, wisdom. Give me research. If I would have just researched that product and I would have said, okay, that's one of the worst freezers you could possibly buy, I never would have bought it. I never would have spent the money on that cooler. And know where the cooler is now? Somewhere, Tom can tell you. In a landfill, maybe. And scrap metal is where it is. So all that money that Linda and I spent for a nice cooler to benefit our store and to use when in a scrapyard. And guess what I'm using now? I believe it's a 15 cubic foot refrigerator that we got basically for free. So it's amazing. God led us in a full circle. I still needed a cooler. I still needed a freezer. And He provided one free for us. So instead of spending additional money, God did provide. But I went the full circle and I learned a valuable lesson. So I share that with you, and I hope that you can think about that. And think about your own life and decisions that you make. Do you trust in God? Do you submit to Him and say, show me the way, teach me what I need to know, give me understanding, and help me to make wise decisions? Well, this year, you're going to have the opportunity to make decisions throughout the year. And I want to encourage you to submit to God. Do the first step. I hope you want to be guided by God. Because God will guide you. He will lead you. He will show you the way. Now, there's a second point that we need to understand. Because you can be guided, but if you don't want to be guided, it doesn't matter. The second point will not affect your life at all. So the first step is the most important step, to take that first step to reach out and say, I want to be submitted to God's way, and I want to do what's right, and I want God to show me and guide me. So we say, how does God show us? How does He guide us? That's the second point. We need to realize that God's primary guidance system, now this sounds like some scientific, is His Word, the Bible. Very simple. Sounds a little complex at first. Primary guidance system. But it comes down to a very simple term, the Bible, His Word. And that is what will guide us and show us and give us the understanding and help us along life's way. Let's look at Psalm 32. And verse 8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. And so God shows us right here, and David's emphasizing, I will guide you with my eye. So God will watch us and guide us and show us the way that we should go. Isn't that a wonderful path that we can take, knowing that we can be guided, that we don't have to stumble and fall and trip along the way, that we can be guided and shown the proper way to go? and it's through God's Word. And so it's going to take us through prayer, meditation, fasting at times, and Bible study. Very important. Those four areas is the guidance system that will lead us and show us the way through the Bible. Let's look at Psalms 48. Psalms 48, and we'll look at verse 14. It says, "For this God is our God forever and ever." And I hope you sincerely believe that, that our God is our God forever and ever. And it says, "And He will be our guide even unto death." So hopefully it's a lifelong process that we trust in God and we will read God's Word even unto death, to the last breath that we take. He will guide us. He will be our guide. And most importantly, God will be our God forever and ever. And that's into the kingdom of God. Not just this physical life that we're experiencing, but eventually into the kingdom of God. He will be our God. He will continue to be our God forever and ever. What a wonderful knowledge of understanding that God is there for us for every single day of our lives. He will teach us, He will show us, He will instruct us, and He will guide us. It's a wonderful blessing to know that. Let's look at Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is wonderful too because it's very encouraging. Isaiah chapter 48. And we'll look at verse 17. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. "Thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, which teacheth you to provide a prophet, which leads you by the way that you should go." Isn't that wonderful news to know the very great God leads us, directs us, and teaches us the way that we should go? Not man, who will lead us the wrong way, but the very God who created us will show us the way and teach us the way and direct us in the way that we should go. And we won't stumble and fall. We are tremendously blessed to have this opportunity in our life, in our lifetime, to be able to know the one and only true God. That's a wonderful blessing. Let's look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 11. And this is a very comforting scripture too. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them that are with young." And so again, he's like a shepherd that's working with his flock. We are considered the flock, his sheep. And he will gather them together in his arms. And I want you to picture that in your mind. A shepherd taking a lamb up in his arms and holding and caressing and caring and showing love and compassion for that lamb, that little lamb. We are the lambs of God. He'll carry us in his bosom. And he will gently lead us. Now there may come a time where he has to harshly lead us if we go contrary to his way. And so sometimes he has to correct us. But it says that here he gently leads us if we're willing to be submissive and to read and study and grow and from time maybe fast for direction and understanding. And it says that he will lead those with young. It's a wonderful blessing. Again, this is the primary guidance system. He gently leads us to understanding. Let's look at Isaiah 42, verse 16. Now this is, you can look at it physically and spiritually here. In Isaiah 42, verse 16, it says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." Now physically, we can say physically when we're blind, we don't see. We don't understand. We can't comprehend the way. And spiritually, we can say the same way. At one time, we were blinded. We didn't know God's way of life. We weren't going the way that we needed to go. We weren't being led in the proper paths that it talks about. That we were the paths were unknown to us. And like I said, I grew up as a teenager, but I remember the years before I was a teenager and what life was like before knowing God's way of life. And it was the path to destruction. It led me the wrong path. And I was blind, and you were blind until God called you and gave you understanding and showed you the way. And it says, and I will make the darkness light before them. And he did. When he gave us his truths, his understanding of his way of life, the light opened up. The understanding came. And the path was lit that we could walk, that straight and narrow path. It says, the crooked things made straight. The wide path that leads to all kinds of crooked ways was made straight. We were given understanding. We were shown the way to go. And we were blessed tremendously in knowing the straight and narrow path. And says, these things I will do for them and not forsake them. And so we know that God is with us to the day that we die. He'll always be with us. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to know these scriptures, to realize it? It's simple. It's not a very complex concept. Number one, we have to be submissive. We have to be willing to want in our hearts. We have to say, God, not my way, but your way. And then learn God's way by reading the Bible, studying, praying, asking God for guidance and direction and understanding, fasting from time to time when we need to fast, and showing us where we maybe are going off the track, where we're making mistakes. Let's look at Isaiah 58. Like I said, the book of Isaiah is a wonderful book too of encouragement. Isaiah 58, verse 11. Here it says, the Lord will guide you continually. So not just one time while we're growing up as children and then we're on our own. No, it says, he will guide us continually and satisfy your soul in drought. Now, that's interesting. Satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. So your bones are going to be fat. That's with understanding and knowledge and direction. And you shall be like a watered garden. If you ever seen a garden that is watered, Patty's probably could understand this situation here involving a watered garden. And like a spring of water whose water fails not. It's a beautiful sight, a wonderful garden that's watered. We will be watered like a wonderful garden, watered with the knowledge and the truth of God's way of life, the blessings and the understanding. We won't be a soul in drought. Our bones, it says, they'll be made fat because of the blessings and the understanding of God's way. Again, wonderful scriptures that we can read. Let's look at John 16. John 16, and we'll look at verse 13. And here we're told in John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And that is godly truth. He will guide us. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. And that's when we read God's word, we will understand the prophecies that will be fulfilled in God's word, of the things that will come. And one of the greatest things to come is the kingdom of God. That is something we're all looking forward to. The kingdom of God. And it will come. Will it come in our lifetime? I can't answer that question. All we know, it will come in its proper time. And we can rejoice. But we can come to know and understand God's purpose for mankind. The world doesn't understand what's going on. They see chaos. They see confusion. They see all kinds of turmoil and weather conditions that are going on in here. And they don't understand what's happening. And they don't realize that's part of the plan of God. And when all these catastrophes that happen, people's lives are just in turmoil. And they trust in themselves and they'll do all kinds of things to try to save their life. And they don't realize and understand. We have been blessed to know the purpose that God has for us. And mankind all will have the opportunity of knowing this. When the kingdom of God is established, every individual that ever lived will have the opportunity to know God's way of life, to be taught, to be guided and directed. But they too will have to come to submission. They have to too want to do what is right. And so they will have to learn these valuable lessons that we're learning now in our lifetime. Let's look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, we'll begin in verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to my words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have taught us. And so from the very beginning, from the time that Adam and Eve was created, all the way down to our current mankind, we have been taught dark sayings of old, it says. And it says that our fathers have taught us. And so from generation to generation, this has been brought down and understood, God's way of life. We will not hide them from their children. And so I want to encourage you not to hide God's way from your children. Teach your children God's way. Show to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. So as we study God's way and understand where God is leading us and guiding us, we need to teach our children God's way and show them from generation to generation, as long as mankind exists, we should be willing to do that. It's a wonderful blessing that we have. So as it flows from God to us, and it flows from us to our children and our children's children and generation to generation, God's way of life continues to exist and continues to be the pattern that we have to follow, the guidance that we teach and the guidance that we show. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. And some of the lessons that we can learn here, it says in Proverbs 3 verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." So, not only are we learning God's way of life and being guided with truth, but we're also being learned with mercy. God is very merciful towards us. If He would just zap us the first time we made a mistake, we would no longer be in God's kingdom or have the opportunity to be in God's kingdom. And He could do that. When we stumble and fall along the way, if we make mistakes, we don't have a God that's unmerciful. He just says, okay, that's it. They sinned. They reap the penalty, death. They're gone. It's His desire that we all be in His kingdom. And He wants every one of us in His kingdom. And out of His mercy, He forgives us our sins and our transgressions when we stumble and fall. And again, along the path, the straight and narrow, even the straight and narrow path, people have made mistakes. That doesn't mean that they went back to the way of the world. That means they stumbled for a period of time. They made mistakes. They didn't study the Word of God. Now, what do I have to do here? And if they are willing to go back to the basics, ask God for forgiveness, His mercy and His love is there for us. And He will guide us again back to repentance. He will open our hearts and show us the way again. He doesn't cut us off and say, that's it, one time, and that's it. Never again. No. We have a God that desires all of us to be in His kingdom. And He, out of His mercy and love, He shows us the way. Let's continue on that thought. In Proverbs 3 it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck." And so hold on to the words of God and put them upon our neck. Write them on the tables of your heart. And the reason we put them in our heart is God looks at our heart. Is it in our heart? Is it our desire to do what is right, to do the will of God, to obey Him and submit to Him and do the things that God wants us to do? He looks at our heart. If our heart is right, and He knows people are frail, we're feeble, we're dust, and we sometimes trust in ourselves, in our own wisdom, in our own knowledge. But it's the wisdom that God gives us that helps us and shows us the way. And even when we sometimes stumble and fall, We need to put God's words in the table of our hearts, because our hearts will guide us and show us the way. Now, the heart can be deceitful. The Bible talks about that. So we have to make sure we have the right kind of heart, that we have the heart and ask God, give us the heart that He wants us to have. When we go in prayer, prayer is fantastic. It's a wonderful blessing. It's a time to talk to God, to go to God and say, God, I need guidance, I need help, I need understanding, I need wisdom, I need knowledge. And if you ask, He said He will give us. He'll give us abundantly. But we have to ask sometimes. And if we refuse to ask, God is up in heaven saying, ask, talk to me, talk to me. Is I'm here, let's talk together. I find the scriptures are very encouraging, where it says about, let's come together and talk together. And so God talks to us through His Word. He shows us the way. Now, I know sometimes we get busy in life, and sometimes we don't study as much as we should. And maybe that's why we make mistakes, because we don't study God's Word to see the way to go. But the nice and encouraging thing is God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't say, that's it. You know, He turned away from me and He casts us aside. He always is there waiting for us to come back. And individuals who have turned away from God have the opportunity of coming back. Now they have to be submissive again. They have to be willing to seek God. And so they can go, if they make the mistake, the wide path that leads to destruction, they can come back to the narrow path. But they have to have the Spirit guiding and directing them. And sometimes individuals learn valuable lessons that way. John 14. John 14, and we'll look at verse 15. And one of the things we're told to do in John 14 and verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The commandments of God. That is the path that shows us the direction to live, what we need to do. And these commandments are not grievous. They're wonderful. I remember an individual saying, I will never do those things, and turn away from God. That individual is going to learn life the hard way. Because when you turn from God and don't do His commandments, you walk the ways of the world, and the ways of the world go contrary to God's way. And then you suffer the consequence. I mentioned there's two paths. It's life is simple. It's not as complex as we try to make it out to be. Now, it's hard. It's not easy, but it's simple. There is a path to follow and a path to go. And there's a path not to follow and a path not to go. It's as simple as that. But where it becomes a little more complex is the fact that it's not easy. It's not an easy path to go. But the commandments show us the pathway to go, how we're supposed to live our lives. And if we obey the commandments out of love to God, He will give us understanding and direction. And so the plan of God is very simple for mankind, but we got to have a submissive heart. We got to be willing to do it. We can say all we want and say, yes, I want to do it, I want to do it, I want to do it. But if we don't do it, we haven't gained anything. We haven't gained anything at all. We have to be doers of the law and the commandments, not just hearers and say, yes, I know the commandments, I understand the commandments, but we have to do them. We just can't just hear the commandments and say, okay, I do love the commandments, but if we don't do them, we haven't gained anything, and we've lost, and we're not following that straight and narrow path. Let's look at Revelation. Revelation is a wonderful verse here. We're in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, and we'll look at verse 7. Revelation 22 and verse 7, it says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecies of this book, or the messages of this book. Brethren, that's what it all comes down to. One day Christ is returning. Now it says here, I come quickly. Now for us, it seems like it's been a long time. If you've been in the church for a long period of time, it seems like it's been a long time. But it's like a breath of air to God and Jesus Christ. Time goes by quickly. It says, behold, I come quickly. And notice it says, blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecies of this book. Brethren, these are the words that guide us and direct us and show us the way. It keeps us on the path, the straight and narrow path. It'll guide us to the kingdom. It's the path to the kingdom. And we all look forward to the kingdom being established. Let's also look at verse 14. It says here in verse chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. And we will. We will have the right to the tree of life. And may enter in through the gates into the city. And what is that city? The kingdom that's coming. We will have the entrance into the kingdom of God, or the city of God that's coming. What a wonderful understanding, knowing that God will guide us. But it starts with the heart. It starts from the very beginning. We have to be submissive. We have to be willing and say, not my way, but your way, God. Teach me your way. Show me your paths. Guide me, teach me. Help me not to trust in myself, but to always trust in God. When we do that, he will show us through his word. And then when the kingdom is established, we will all be together. Throughout the Bible, God tells us of the endless times of the knowledge found in his word. Throughout the Bible, it's there. By reading it and learning it, we will gain wisdom, we'll gain understanding, we'll gain knowledge and guidance, which will show us God's direction for our lives. And that should be very encouraging to every one of us. We don't have to make the mistakes that everyone else is making, that we can be blessed knowing the way to guide our lives. We must want to be guided. It starts from us. We have to and must want to be doing the things that God wants us to do. If we don't want to go God's way, he'll let us go to the wide path that leads to destruction and turn it aside from God. He'll let us do that. But he's saying, go the straight and narrow path. He shows us the way. He says, be guided and seek and obey his commandments, and he will guide us into his kingdom. What a wonderful blessing, what a wonderful knowledge we have. And it's very simple if we just trust in God's guidance.